Now listen closely. I left some breakfast for you on the table. Your dad had an early meeting, and I have to open the shop. I want you to get your chores done as soon as you get home from school. That means the whole house, okay?
Vacuum, right.
And polish the furniture.
Polish the furniture, too? What's wrong with Jimmy? He does the furniture.
Getting children to do chores around the home can be a struggle at times. There's no question about that. But instilling a healthy work ethic in a child is one of our most important responsibilities as a parent. Today, we're going to talk about children and chores. And our host is Dr. James Dobson. I'm Mike Trout, and I hope you'll stay tuned as we focus on the family. And as we get into an area that probably affects every family, and here to help us deal with that subject is a friend who has shared her wisdom in the past many, many times. Doctor?
We have a very talented lady back with us in the studio today, Mike, a lady that you know I respect very highly. We have loved her through the years. Her name is Jean Lush. She has more than 30 years of experience as a counselor with the Krista Ministries in Seattle. At least that's where she's been in recent years. She's written three books, Emotional Phases of a Woman's Life, Mothers and Sons, and her latest one, Women in Stress. Jean is a widow now, having endured the loss of her beloved husband, Lyle. We had a great friendship with Lyle. He died in 1991 after more than 50 years of marriage. Jean has nine grandchildren and one great-grandchild.
My goodness.
it's great to have you back at Focus on the Family, Jean.
It's good to be back, Dr. Dobson.
We've talked about so many interesting subjects through the years. I was given a report as we walked into the studio today that lists the topics that we have talked about in the past. Let me go down them real quick. We've talked about being a grandmother, single motherhood, coping with hormone imbalance, step-parenting, defusing anger in marriage, expectations in marriage, the mystique of a woman, the middle years of a woman's life, the stages of a woman's life, mothers and sons, and women in stress. Jean, I want to talk about a subject that many parents are going to find helpful today. I'd like to get you to share some ideas about getting children to do some of the chores around the home. I know you have some strong feelings about that. Let's just plunge right into it. Why should a parent try to get a child to carry responsibility, to make his bed and, you know, do all of that, when the parent can just get in and do it himself or herself? Why struggle with a child to try to get him to do what he doesn't want to do?
Well, I think that we can go really straight to the scriptures and say a Christian parent really has got an obligation. Now, because this is where obedience really starts. You see what I mean? It works right there in the home in front of them.
And in other words, when a child obeys his parent, that prepares him for obedience to God.
Right. But it prepares him in a very special way when we're talking about chores. Because there, the parent can see, you see, whether his discipline is working. The parent can see the amount of cooperation he's getting from the child. Now, I believe that it's the job of parents to teach children really two things. We must teach children, or must make them able to love and able to work. And see, all other things fall under that. So we have got to start very early teaching them how to work.
Well, you apparently then see a connection, as I do, between how a child functions during those early years and how he will function later as an adult.
Do I ever? In fact, I will go so far as to say, in many, many cases where I've had to work with men who could not hold jobs, I mean, occasionally different other agencies would refer a chap in who could not hold a job. And I will bet you, in almost every case, you will find a fellow who's grown up lazy. Nobody has made him work. He's never taught to be responsible early. And I think that if we want our children to be useful, productive members of society, it's our job to start their future work habits right there when they're children. I think it's very early.
We take away childhood. We make them work so much that they don't enjoy childhood, do we?
Oh, wait a minute. I've heard parents talk about the home is a cushioned retreat. And when they get out into the world is a rat race, and why rob them of their childhood? Now, I've heard that one. You know, but if you're going to give them a cushioned retreat now, they won't have a cushioned retreat in the future for themselves, because you're robbing them of skills that they need to face life with later on.
How early do they start, Jean?
Oh, I think children should start very immediately. Look, a little girl of five, you say, she loves on a chair wiping dishes, and they love setting tables. And very, very early, I had the two grandchildren really, you know, working very hard. Oh, by the way, the messy things I did with my own kids, I've resurrected in my grandchildren. And one day on my tombstone's going to be, she really was a good grandmother. And so I particularly tried out these things with grandchildren too.
All right, let's be specific. Suppose that you've got a three-year-old who's playing with blocks and plastic toys and Legos and all that stuff and makes a mess in the floor. And it is now nearly bedtime. And should you, as a parent, make him pick all that stuff up?
Yes, but then the parent needs to get in a little early. It's not fair to pounce on a child. You know what I mean? I think little children should be given warnings. Or, better than that, if you're talking a three-year-old and the parent wants to hurry, I think the parent should get down and say, you do have to clean it up, but we'll do it together. And see here, so little wee children often need help if you've given them a sudden command and they're not emotionally ready, and they're tired, too, if you're talking about going to bed. And but I don't care how it's done, you know, and often I think the parents can get in and help them. But the fact that they do it, I think, is very important here.
I remember when Danae was about 4 years of age, I was working on the back fence, and I had a hammer and nails, and I was hammering away out there, and Danae and I were alone. She was playing in the backyard, and she came up and picked up my little can of nails, and I knew what she was going to do. I knew she was going to pour those out. And so I said to her, Danae, don't pour those nails out, but if you do, you're going to have to pick them up. And, of course, she poured them out, and they went all over the grass. And then I said, well, Danae, you'll just have to pick them up. And she just wept, and, oh, it was awful, the thought of having to do that. And I just took her by the hand, and I went in the house, and I opened the shade on the window at a bedroom near where I was working. I pulled a little chair up there, and I put her on the chair, and I said, Danae, if you're going to cry, I'd rather you'd cry in here, because that really, I don't want to hear you cry. But when you're through crying and you're ready to come pick up the nails, then come on out, and we'll do it together. And she sat on that little chair and watched me out the window and cried. And then finally she said, okay, Daddy, I'm ready. And she came out and we picked up the nails together. But that was the process of teaching her to work. And it would have been a lot easier for me to have picked those nails up myself than to have gone through that. I had to divert myself from the task that I was doing. But like you, I felt it was important for her to take the responsibility for having dumped the nails out to start with, but also to learn to carry through with the task.
Now, there's a few points here I'd like to make at this time. The discipline of work, I believe, is character building very early in little children. Because we do an awful lot for little children, constantly to make them comfortable and to keep them happy and to amuse them. But I think we can't let go of what I call character building tasks. Now, for one thing, I think there's also a correlation between not achieving things early and depression. We teach people early to complete things. A lot of people later on in life do not want the bother, you know what I mean, sticking to a thing when it's hard. This is the reason why people leave jobs often. If it gets too hard, why not go to something simpler? Now, particularly when parents reinforce that. Like, a kid could finish a thing very badly, but, you know what I mean, when they've done it the best they can, it gives a chance for a parent to reinforce that. If we can say, this is terrific, you know, that you've attempted to stick with this bad or hard thing and you've tried to finish it or you have finished it. So, of course, there's approval then associated, you see, with sticking and finishing and completing something. And now I believe, too, that compliance with what a parent commands helps character by internalizing that discipline for themselves. Like, first of all, we have to make children obey. And even if they don't want to, it really doesn't matter as long as they comply with what we say. We don't expect them to feel good about what we say, but we are asking them to cooperate with what we say. But eventually, I believe that the discipline we supply from the outside becomes internalized and becomes self-discipline. Now, that particularly through the latency period, I mean, that's at roughly the grade school years, I think that is very important, that we do not allow children to drift around and never cooperating or attempting tasks and finishing them. I think it's very important.
Why do you think children resist work so much, Jean?
Now, I think children basically want to play. And children like to establish, like to resist, you see what I mean? They're always testing that out anyway, and work's a good way to do it because the kids have got a lot of excuses. I'm being used by you. Other kids don't have to work. I remember my kids crying that to me all the time. You don't like me when you give me hard things to do. And, of course, here's a beauty. I have to work hard at school. I don't have time. You're just giving me a bad time. See, this one's a hard one to answer. And then another one children use very successfully. You don't want me to have fun because your silly parents made you work. Remember, the kids are smart these days and can throw that back at parents. And then parents feel very unsure about it, and they're wondering now if the kids aren't right. And so, of course, kids have got a winning line here, you know, that they can use with parents very easily.
The most successful approach to work that I've seen kids use is to just subvert it and see that it doesn't succeed, that it doesn't happen. In other words, they will work as long as you stand over them. The moment you turn your back, they're gone. If you don't remember the next morning to have them make the bed, they won't do it. There's almost a passive warfare that goes on.
Passive resistance,
yes,
I would call that.
Yes, that is more successful than defiance in some cases, because you can deal with defiance. You just can't deal with this passive thing going on.
Besides, another way that's so successful in kids' warfare, it makes the parent mad. And when you've got a parent mad, you've got them where you want to, and
absolutely,
you feel, you know, in control. Now, of course, what happens is the kids try all this stuff out on us, and then the mother finally says, it takes too much out of me to make them do it, and I don't have time, and besides, it's making tension. Why should I create tensions, you know what I mean, whereby not mentioning this, you see? And so then the mothers are like to say, maybe they're too young, you know, maybe.
And I can do it myself easier than I can fight with these kids.
Now, I think also the mother might say, there's plenty of time later on. You know, I'm having problems because perhaps this child isn't ready to learn to work. And so it's awfully easy, you know, for parents to postpone the time. And meanwhile, I think every year is important. There's also another thing coming in the last few years where mothers are saying that they want their children to have added advantages, you know, like all the music and the baseball, the orchestra, and, you know, the things that children are doing.
That's a very important matter because we have programmed our kids so much. You know, they have computer lessons, and they have, in some cases, music lessons or dance lessons or who knows what, and they're going 24 hours a day just like we are, and there's no time for work. You feel that's a mistake?
I really do feel it's a mistake because, after all, most of these things are for the child. Do you see what I mean? The child must give back to the functioning of the home, I think, in some degree. That's where I think the real character building comes in. If the youngster is just taking from the parent, I'm not quite sure that we're really giving them some of the lessons that we should.
Jean, what if a child never does any work around the home for whatever reasons? They weren't given any assignments by their parents. And now that youngster is grown, what kind of adult are they?
You may have a very selfish, you know, adult, and it would interfere later on in their relationship, supposing when that person gets married. I think it does interfere almost in everything that you can bring up, you know, if the child is deprived of contributing to that household. Because I don't think they're prepared for adulthood in really any way at all.
Jean, your father was a very famous educator in Australia, I believe. And
yes.
He applied some principles in your upbringing and your siblings' upbringing that you have passed along to many parents.
Yes. Now, I still think I've never met anybody like him. Let me tell you of how he did it. Now, remember, I grew up in a very hot climate. We were on the River Murray, and my father was the headmaster of an agricultural high school, the first in the state, which was funded by a number of sources. It was an experiment. Now, there were times when we also helped to keep up some of the experimental crops. Dad would go out even holiday time and over the weekends, and he would take us children out with him. But this is how it would start. We were quite little when this happened. Dad would look out. It was very hot outside. It was terribly hot where we lived. And Dad would start out something like this. It's a very hot day today. Probably too hot for your kids outside. I am going out to hoe the pea patch. That was a big private garden that we had. And then he'd repeat that, and we'd say, it's not too hot for us. Oh, yes, of course it is. And he would sort of strut around a little bit, prepare to go, and all of a sudden we found ourselves saying, we can go out in the hot weather. And he said, oh, well, that's great if you'd come out. And he'd start out with this kind of kidding. Now, then he'd get out as far as the pea patch, and he'd say, oh, I don't think you need to do this. He'd, really, you just sit down and watch me. And by then we'd say, no, Father, you know, we're able to do all this work today. Then he'd say, all right, now, if you kids really want to, let me show you how this is done. And he'd have the little hoe, and that's where he excelled. He showed us step by step. Then he'd start and say, all right, let's all take a row and see who can do the best work. So we would keep pace with Father, you know, digging along in the heat. Now, when we got to the end of the row, my father used to say things like this, you know, you kids are great. Let me tell you something. When I was a kid, I never had the good attitude you kids have done. Why, he said, when I was a kid, I would never got out here in the heat. You kids are great workers. That's one thing I've always had said about you. Meanwhile, we were getting corrected all down the line, you without even knowing. And Dad would say, this is the way you do it. You give it a chop this way. And then he'd say, you try that one and let's see. And, of course, by that time, we were showing off with a little chop, chop through the thistle seed. Well, now, halfway a few rows were done, a lot more kidding, and all of a sudden, Father would pull out a bottle of what was called lemonade in our day from underneath the bushes. And he would say, I don't remember putting this here. Well, he'd say. And we'd sit down and we'd all have a swig from this great big green lemonade bottles, you see. There were little built-in treats all the time. Sometimes the father, when he stopped the kidding part, would tell us horror stories of when he was a boy. He said he was the most awful, lazy, good-for-nothing kid. Now, this is different from what other parents do. And then he would tell us about some of the things he did. We get a lot of stories about his childhood. When I was old enough to get suspicious about this, and I asked Grandmother about it, she said, what? That wasn't so at all. And I learned later that this was a lot of kidding that my father did. But my father always praised before he corrected. We never knew we were being corrected. And we got a lot of praise, really, for everything we did. And we never felt discouraged. Let me tell you the payola, I think the word is in America, that happened. When we were very little, one day there came a storm so terrible that the sky was black with sand that was coming down from the central part of Australia. And my father knew that if that sand got onto the crop, this was in fall, when the rare, beautiful hybrid fruit that he was developing, by the way, some of that was going to London to a great exhibition. The day came when my father said, I want every person in, out in the orchard. We have got to work fast to save the fruit. And that day, we were four of us, all we children and mother got out, and we knew what to do. We had worked in fun, and Father had showed us how to pick.
But there was a time to work for real.
There was a time, and that happened several times, whether it's emergencies. And, you know, we were used to doing it. We knew how to do it, we knew what to do, and we knew the way Father did it. And my word, Father, that day was deeply grateful to, you know, to the children's side, because we only had minutes before that storm hit. Now, I have seen other people say something like this. You can't praise a child for what they haven't done properly. And I remember once a parent that I was dealing with, he had a son who was terribly depressed. The father never praised him for anything. And he said, this is nonsense. When I go to work, I'm expected to do my job and do it properly. My boss doesn't come around and egg me on with praise. He says, that's not dealing with the real world, you know, says the man. And my kid better learn to work and better do it properly. And he shouldn't learn to expect praise. Well, I don't agree, you see. Look, have you ever thought of this? Adults do have supervisors over them. They do work for goodies. You know, there's built-in goodies all the time in the adult world. And so little children need a lot of goodies, you know, as they, you know, all the time. And I think that work should be turned into a little bit of fun. And it can be.
Yes.
And another thing, this is where you get close to a child. Really, you know, this is where you really can. Yeah. You are building relationships, really, as you share work. And a lot of parents bring up this question, well, why don't children, quote, follow through? When are my children are going to be responsible? I have shocked people by saying probably not for a very long time, because you have to supervise. Your job is to supervise them, not to, quote, make them responsible. You see, a parent sometimes wants the pressure off them.
Yes.
They think that you throw the ball to the kid And he's supposed to do it without you getting involved.
Boy,
again.
So
that
good.
Doesn't work that way.
That is so good. I tell you what, parents expect children to brush their teeth every day, even though it's never mentioned. They expect them to do their homework, even though the parents never say, "Do you have homework tonight?" They expect them to carry this responsibility without accountability, and it doesn't work. We as parents are on the hook. If we want our kids to learn to work and learn responsibility, we have to provide accountability. And it'll be that way all through childhood.
When I was in the dorm years ago, I had girls, this is my first Christian work years ago, I had girls from 11 to actually up to 21. And I did not find the older ones were necessarily more accountable than younger ones. I found everybody needs supervision, you know, really at all times, because that's just the way of the flesh, that we will beat the system if we can. That's human nature, isn't
it? Right.
And so it makes sense. By the way, one more thing I must say. In the dormitories, we found this as a result after several years' work. 25% of kids are self-starters and may take over responsibility, only 25. 50% will go either way according to what the parents actually do with the job, you know, of supervising. 25% won't cooperate, will have to be, quote, made to do things more heavily, and very likely all their lives will have some problem, you know, in about taking responsibility. This was the same we found with both boys and girls in the dormitories. We came out with exactly the same figures.
The only thing I would add to that is that it's been my observation that some of that response is not parental failure or parental success, but it is the temperament of the child.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. You see, the ones on the two ends particularly.
Yeah.
See, 25% of those little kids were going to be that way. You know, we're eager to work, eager to take responsibility. And the other ones at the other end seem to be difficult and belligerent, you know, almost from the beginning. And I really agree with you on that, you see. The parents aren't gods. We can't take children and make them into something that we want. I think we can show them the way, and with 50%, we can have a lot of control. Now, I think this applies pretty well at any family that you look at. You know, you're going to have a split up roughly this if you've got several children. What we're really saying is that parents cannot get out of supervision, and often they think they should. They think if they're doing their job properly, the kids pick up the ball and carry it. My point answer to that is they really don't. And they always need the parent to really supervise.
This is why God holds us accountable. Doesn't he say in his word that someday every idle thought, every word we have spoken is written down, and we will be accountable for it. And it is that accountability that helps me be the best person that I can be. And I tell you, I draw great spiritual satisfaction from knowing there is an ultimately just God who is keeping score on everything happening on this earth, and someday all the injustice will be wiped away. You know, as we've said many times, parenting is modeled after, as best we can, that relationship between God and man. And this issue we've been talking about today is no exception. Gene, you've raised another interesting subject, and you've handled it well, and I appreciate you being here today.
Thank you, Dr. Dobson, for dealing with this, because I think parents need to hear this.
Oh, my, yes. Every parent who's ever walked the face of the earth needs help in this area, I suppose. We've been talking about children and chores on today's edition of Focus on the Family. And my appreciation as well to Jean Lush for once again sharing her wisdom with us. This program has been provided by Focus on the Family. Thanks go to our audio engineer, Kurt Morrison, our producer, John Elmore, and our host has been psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. And I'm Mike Trout, inviting you back when we'll again turn our hearts toward home.